wrapping up our beginning of the new year sermon series today. And even the title of the series, I realize, Supernatural Power for Everyday People, I realize that there is I'm betraying a bias that not everyone buys into. When we think about a worldview or a way that we see the world, obviously my worldview is portrayed simply in the way I present this. There are really basically two main groupings when it comes to a worldview. A worldview is just simply how it is that the lens that we see the world through. How does we begin to make sense out of the world around us? We all have one. It just depends on how you might want to categorize it. There are two main worldviews out there. One's a natural worldview and one's a spiritual worldview. And obviously when I say supernatural power for everyday people, I am kind of tipping my hand as to which way I fall when it comes to this thing of a worldview. Now, one of this natural worldview, sometimes it's called natural worldview, sometimes it's called materialistic worldview, sometimes we even refer to it, recently I've heard it called scientific worldview, and it basically says that what you can see, what you can touch, what we can experience here is really all that is and all that is needed for us to sort out and make sense out of the world around us. If you can put it in a test tube, if you can examine it under the microscope, if you can examine it through a natural process, that begins to fit and make sense for us. What we have need of is all that is in the natural realm, because from this perspective, that's all that there is. Now, it's limited. Those answers that you can get from the test tube or the microscope or even natural process can never begin to answer the ultimate questions of who we are, where we came from, or why we are here. And so sometimes when you get into debates with people with different worldviews, we run into that rub, that really the questions that we would want to answer from a spiritual perspective aren't even on the table. But the second option is this spiritual worldview. And it says, by nature, that just simply says that there is a power beyond that we cannot see, that we cannot contain, that has a way of interacting with this physical world that we live in. Now, this happens to be the worldview that the Bible is written from. This happens to be the reality it speaks to of a God who has created all that is, even though we can't see, nor can we contain him. But it also begins to apply to spiritual forces at work, both for good as well as for evil, in a world that we interact in. Now, this basic biblical worldview is great, and we as followers of Christ, we often like to think about a God who intervenes in our behalf in the midst of this world we live in. We come and bring prayer requests to him because we believe that he listens and he cares and he will respond. And if we didn't, why would we ever bother to pray? But one of the things that often we overlook, or maybe we tend to ignore, or tend to maybe not want to deal with, is the reality that it's not just a good God who is on our side, but there is also an other side at work as well, spiritual forces that are aligned against us. And I'm not talking about some divine conspiracy. I'm not talking about some great horror film. But it does sound like a horror film, doesn't it? That there is something evil out there, and it's aligned against the main character of the show. And so the question will be, will they be able to survive or will they not? That's not the script of a horror film. That really is what's going on here for us, that you and I don't mean to over-dramatize this, but you and I are under attack, and we recognize it sometimes in various ways. Either we recognize it in the way that we feel a sense of opposition when things we're seeking to do something, we're either seeking to grow, we're seeking to share, we're seeking to give, and there becomes opposition. We don't know where it comes from, and it seems to creep up on us. Or maybe it just catches us when we're moving. There's a sense of oppression that holds us down. We don't know where it comes from. We don't know why it is, but I just don't feel like doing anything because I'm just feeling kind of pressed in. Maybe there's a spiritual depression that comes along with it. Maybe even a full-on just tormenting that comes, and we don't know where it comes from, but why do I feel this way? And it's because we live in the midst of a, and I don't want to use this lightly, but in the midst of a spiritual battlefield, and we find ourselves there, whether or not we recognize it, and there's no real foxhole that we can crawl into, there's no bunker that we can hide behind, that will completely protect us from this, the wiles of the enemy, or the challenges that we face. Now, we would like it to be that way, but there really is not. And so because we live in this broken world where there is both good and evil, and because these spiritual forces are aligned either for us or against us, we need to begin to recognize them and move in a way, order our lives in a way, begin to see the world in a way that opens us to overcome, not be overcome by the evil around us. We're going to open our Bibles today to Ephesians chapter 6. This is where we're going to start, but I'm going to suggest to you that the Bible is full of instruction for us. How is it that we as spiritual beings, we get that, we can agree with that, can rely on a spiritual being who is bigger and greater and more good than we are? We get that. But sometimes for us, it's difficult to take that next step. The reason we must rely on him, though, is because there are other forces that would otherwise undo us and set us up to fail. And so we need to begin to come there. So Ephesians 6, in verse 10, the Apostle Paul writes these words. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes." Before I go on, I think it's pretty clear, and I'm sure you think so too, that Paul is looking at this from a spiritual worldview. In fact, he's already identified the two main characters in this spiritual warfare. He's already said that we need to put on something that God has offered to us, so that we can overcome the schemes of the evil one, the devil, who would be out to get us. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Our enemies aren't those people that we don't like, but against the rulers and against authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Paul is opening up, kind of pulling the curtain back so that we can see what's going on in places that we normally can't see. But there are spiritual forces at work, though we cannot see them, that are working, therefore, against us. It's easy for us to get angry at people around us when they don't do what we think they ought to do, or when they do things that we know are just flat out wrong or evil. It's easy for us to get mad at fake news or get mad at the president or whatever, because they tend to embody somehow something that causes us to get upset with the world around us. But again, it is not the people. If ever you don't know who it is, who your enemy is, this is a simple way. If they've got skin on, they're not your enemy. Now, you may be opposed to people, people may upset you, but when it's not your enemy, our call is to pray for them. That's what Jesus said, that we are called to pray for those who are persecute us. We are called to love those we would otherwise call enemies, because they are not our ultimate enemy. The ultimate enemy is the devil, the one who is after and whose design would be to steal, kill, and destroy what God would have to give and do through us. There's a couple things about the enemy I want to just say, and I don't want to spend too much time on that because that's not really where the action is. There's a few things as we think about the devil. Let me just clarify. There's a few things about the devil, and these are key for us. First thing I want to say is this, that the Bible portrays the devil as, first and foremost, as a liar. And this is, I think, how the devil operates most often in us. It is that whispering little voice that we hear. Often it's condemning us. Often it's saying that we're no good. Often it's saying that we have failed and therefore are a failure, that we have no hope in this world because, really, why would God care about you? Those are all lies. Anyone hear those whispering voices? Yeah, of course we do. It's not just our insecurities, and it's not truth, but it happens to be targeted attacks to those areas of our weakness where we tend to be insecure, where we tend to be fearful. And all of a sudden, these are the voices that we hear. We don't know where they come from. John 8 says that's exactly how he operates, that he is a liar. He uses the voice of lies to begin to tear us down. The devil also is a tempter. We see that in various other parts of the Bible, including Matthew 4. But there's a whole lot of places where it is spoken about that this temptations that we often have. We were joking a while ago about Jose. We were saying how cool it is that this chameleon has those eyes that move all over the place, right? Because, yeah, you can't move your neck. You got to have something that would move around. And I inadvertently said, how cool it'd be to have eyes like that. And no, I don't think I want that. I don't need more access to more temptation. I don't need to have more access to things that would get in my way. I mean, it's bad enough with all your junk email accounts and all this other stuff that just bombards you and says, hey, look at this. Hey, do that. Hey, think of this. And all of a sudden, there's temptation just thrown at us from every angle. That just doesn't come. It comes because the devil is a tempter. Another thing the devil operates in, and we're going to catch this too, is that he is an accuser. He is the one who would call and say that it is you who have done this, and it is you who is wrong. It is you who has failed, and you who will now never be able to get back into God's good graces. There is an accusation that we often hear, and that's usually the voice, because it's going to speak condemnation to us. It's going to speak that you have done this, so therefore now this is no longer available to you. That the grace of God, which is offered to everybody else, won't be available to you because you have shown yourself to not be worthy. It is the voice of accusation that we often hear. And when we hear that voice of accusation, I want you to know whose voice that is. Who is it who condemns? It is not the Lord. It is not Jesus. Jesus died for you. It is the enemy Paul is speaking about here, who says when we hear that voice of accusation, let's know whose it is. And when we know whose it is, let's shut it off. There's a few things about the devil that he doesn't. He's not all these great words we say about God, omniscient, knowing everything. He's not. Omnipresent, everywhere. No, he's not. Omnipotent. You know, I love that word because God is all powerful, but devil's not. But there's one more thing, and that is that he can be resisted. And this is good news for us. In James 4:7, it has it up there for you, so you don't have to jump back to it. It says, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This is the hope that we have as followers. When we hear those words of lying, when we hear those words of accusation, when we hear those and see those opportunities where temptation begins to pop up, we don't have to fall trapped to the lie. We don't have to fall into the temptation. We don't have to stay stuck in our pattern because the accuser has called us a pattern sticker. We can say, no, God can break this pattern, and we can have freedom here once again. So let's go back to Ephesians. Ephesians 6 continues on. Therefore, this armor of God, which God is offered to us, there is hope here because this is how Paul lines it out. It's like, yeah, well, you're living in the midst of a battlefield, but we're not unprotected. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, everything, to stand. Stand firm then with the belt of truth. I'm not going to break these all down. We don't have time to do this. If we had a series, I'd love to just break into these. What is the belt of truth all about? Simply this. It is a garment that we are invited to put on that says, no, I'm not going to believe the lies any longer, but I'm going to begin to believe and hold on to the truth that God has for me. The breastplate of righteousness in place. Again, something that protects our heart because we are walking in the right way, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Again, being prepared because of what God has done for us, to be prepared in readiness for the time to begin to share that good news and that gospel. In addition, it goes on to say, to all of this, take up the shield of faith. And isn't most every temptation an attack on that belief? Isn't most every temptation we have saying somehow God doesn't have my best in mind, or maybe he doesn't know really what I'm dealing with, or doesn't know what would really work for me? Take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish flaming arrows of the evil one, and take on the helmet of salvation and the word and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I want to hold on right there and just say that this begins to say there's something about it. When we are dealing with the various temptation, lies, or accusations of the evil one of the ways that we can begin to attack that is by turning our mind not to his lies, but to God's word and his truth for us. But where do we go? I'm going to list 7 verses, and these would be great verses to begin to look at this week. The first one is the one we're looking at today, Ephesians 6. But there are others throughout the scriptures that talk about what does it mean for us to be spiritual beings living in the midst of a spiritual and physical world. And there are some verses here that would begin to be good representation for us to say, this is what it means for me to somehow work this out. Maybe pick one each day, meditate on it, read it, hold on to it and say, I'm going to do this and I'm going to just let God's word begin to penetrate, get underneath the skin of those lies that I hear and begin to then dissolve the arguments that the devil would use against me. The word of God becomes a great tool for us, but oftentimes we don't take up the word of God because we don't know where to begin, we don't know where to go, we don't know how to do it. And the other tool that I want to go to here, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Here it is. This becomes the key for all of us as followers of Christ to have supernatural power for everyday lives. This is where it begins. It comes back to, we started off 4 weeks ago with this idea that prayer begins to unlock this power that God has for us. And here in Ephesians, he says it is through prayer that we're going to begin to defeat the wiles and the designs of the enemy. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. It is a spiritual battle, and we need to fight with spiritual weapons. We don't need to try to do it on our own. We don't need to try to get stronger than ourselves. So I'm going to walk through. There's a couple of model prayers. I just want to throw these out, and I just want to put them up here and say these might be prayers that we would hold on to, something that we could pray along this line in and find that this would be a way for us to begin our day. Do I have a reader? Anyone want to read this? Anyone want to volunteer to? Yes, Bobby, read it out loud. Read it good and loud. Stand up so we can all hear you. And read from top to bottom as a possibility, as a model prayer for us. Now, isn't that a great prayer? Wouldn't that be a great way to begin your day? To begin to set not only our course in our mind, but also to invite God's help in the midst of all of those areas of life that we begin to walk into? I've got a couple more. I need another reader. Who would read the second one? This one has to do specifically, Joanna, with allowing the armor of God to be put on us. Go ahead and stand and read it out loud for us, please. Amen. Thank you. Again, I had some of these and wrote them out, and there's if you would like copies of these, I have them on the back table some, and if we can get them, we'll put them on our Facebook page and our new YouVersion church site, right? One more. I need one more volunteer. Richard. Oh, and by the way, happy birthday, Stephanie. You're welcome. Richard, our last one here. Amen. Again, the reason I give suggestions, it's possibilities, is because so oftentimes when we say, okay, and pray prayers, all kinds of prayers for every occasion. And then usually when we think about our prayer life, it's usually pretty anemic. I mean, it's usually about, oh God, help me, what's going on? Or do this for this or do this for that. But when we talk about prayers that begin to open up this flow of God's power, it's prayers like these that can begin to change our prayer life and also change the way we experience God's moving. And so I suggest these to you because, again, this becomes part of the way that Paul says that we address the spiritual struggles we face, that we don't do it on our own. We do it because we are able to do it with God's help, and we do it by opening up the spiritual power, because the spiritual power is real, even as spiritual opposition is real, but also God's help for us is real. And finally, this, I would just like to point this out. Again, a reminder to us from the Bible, and 1 John 4:4 says that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what the struggle is. I don't know where that lying voice is coming from, or that spirit of oppression that holds you down. Or maybe you feel like you're stuck in this rut where sin has just got a hold of you and you can't get out of it. I don't know where that is, but I know this, that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And if we begin to believe that, begin to trust that, begin to read that, begin to meditate upon that, as we begin to pray that, and as we begin to move in new patterns, we'll find that that spiritual power, which God says is available to us, will begin to flow through us. And isn't that what we want? God, it is our desire to know you more, and to allow you to not only speak into us, but to move through us. That the supernatural power that we hear talk of, that we read about, God, would become more and more the reality of our lives. That we would not be feeling so lost and adrift. That we would not feel so, stuck on the rocks. That we would not be feeling so under the water and going down. Father, that there would be a sense of your moving in us and through us. And so, Lord, we ask that you would begin to touch in ways that we have yet to experience. Begin to help us to identify that the lies and the accusation of the enemy, to begin to hear it and know it for what it is, to begin to stand against it and to hold on to your truth instead. Father, I pray that you would help us to recognize what is going on in the world around us, not simply as people who think differently than we do, but because there is a spirit, there is a power. That's desire would be to lead the world to its ruin. And yet, God, you have called us to be your light in the midst of the darkness of the world we live. So, God, we pray for your power to become ours. I pray that you would meet us in those difficult places, those broken places, those fearful places, even those sinful places, to begin to usher us away from the clutches of the enemy, but into your waiting and loving hands. So, God, we thank you for the opportunity this morning. Continue to just open our eyes to see your hand at work, but also open our eyes to see the world for what it is as we walk through it. So bless this time as we go. Help us to find a greater sense of your power rooted in your love for us and the gift you have given. And we pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.